yesterday in this guy's prediction, and which, you know, after you've done the, said those things four or five times, you know, and it doesn't happen, you know, you don't have a lot of credibility. But our word here, the word of God, says very clearly, no man shall know the hour nor the day, amen? And so when he's ready, he'll show up, even if we think he's late. You know, and when we got things going on in our life and we need a deliverer, he'll show up. You know, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The message for today is entitled, Not Even the Smell of Smoke. And we're going to read this morning from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And actually, we're going to read the entirety of this. So bear with me. It's a lot of scripture. But it really holds a powerful meaning when we look at the entirety of this. So as we go through this, I really feel like the Lord is going to move, and I'm excited about it. So Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and the word of God says this, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, which is 90 feet by 9 feet. That's what that translates to be. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers of the provinces, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded. He said, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falls not down and worships the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falls not down and worships, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. This sounds very repetitive, but there's a point here. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he was hot, he was mad. It said, in fury, he commanded to bring these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, It is true, or is it true, I should say. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. In other words, everything will be okay. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands? And look at what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't have to say a word. Here's how we feel. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Man, that's exciting. We are God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wanted to be heated. So it was hotter than it was even possible for it to even to think of how hot it was. And he commanded the most mighty men who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. But, you know, tie their hands up or whatever you want to call it. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments were cast into the middle of the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was so urgent, he was in such a hurry to put forth his orders, it said the flame of the fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, it was so hot. When they came close to even putting them in, the guys taking them, they were killed. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in hate. That means astonished. And he rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four. He said, I see four men loose. They weren't bound anymore. They'd been set free, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth to the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of smoke had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God who can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Whew. That's powerful stuff right there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can be here together today, that we can worship you, Lord. And Father, as we look at the lives of these three men, and we see their boldness, Lord, their willingness, their daring, Lord, that brought them deliverance. We just thank you, Father, for this example that we can look at. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are going to do during this time. Father, I pray that you would empty this servant this morning, Lord, that it would be you and not me. Thank you for all those that have shared, Lord, in song, Lord, and in word today. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God, Lord, is here this morning, that we feel your presence, and that lives, Lord, would be changed today as this challenging message comes forth, Lord, and ask us, Lord, where we are and what we're going to do. And we just thank you for all that you're going to do, and we commit this service to you now in the name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Now, this book of Daniel, it's filled with all kinds of things. It's got a lot of exciting stuff in this book. It's both a book of prophecy, but it's also a book of people, all kinds of people, interesting people, important people. The book of Daniel, it gives us an outline, if you will, of the ages. It gives us a tremendous view of the end times that I believe that we are in right now. Not that it can be predicted, but we see that we are clearly seeing things as the Bible unfolds as to what happens. Daniel provides some foresight for us, if you will, prophecy of all kinds of things. It tells us of the triumphal entry of Christ. It tells us of the cross. It tells us of the destruction of Jerusalem, the coming Antichrist, the time of tribulation, and all of those things that are going to be happening as time goes by. We read this tremendous and wonderful book of Daniel, and we see it unfolding right before our very eyes. But we also see within the accounts of Daniel, we see some wonderful, wonderful things about people. And we learn a lot of things about people. Here we see kings and rulers and servants, but also we understand and we see some wonderful accounts within this book of people of great faith. And that is what it takes to make it through these things that we are witnessing and things that we will witness. We know the story of Daniel, the writer here. He himself was a man of great faith. He displayed that faith, even if it meant he went into the pit of lions, which we know that he did. But the account that we look at today of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is also a very familiar one. We've heard of the story of these three and their casting into the fiery furnace and those things, and we've heard that. But we need to look at it a little bit deeper today and see what some of that is saying to us. We know that they were placed there in that fiery furnace for not bowing down to the king's idol. But what I want us to see is that when you're different, when you are daring, and when you are dedicated to the cause of God, you will be delivered. That's what I want us to see when we look at this today. You see, trials for those of faith will end in triumph. It will. It will. It may be a rough storm getting there, but it will end in triumph, because if we stand for God, just as we sang here this morning, standing on the promises of God, if we stand on those, we embrace those, we accept those, He will stand with us. And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now you see here, these three men were different. They were standing out, if you will. Everybody else was doing whatever the king said. See, he said, I command that you bow down at my giant statue. I command this and command that. And so they just did it. He said, at the sound of these musical instruments, you will fall down and you will worship this giant statue. But it says that these three were different. They didn't do that. They knew the truth. They only worshiped God Almighty, the real God, the only God. They understood the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. They understood the seriousness of that. They were different. They stood out. They were different than everybody else. They didn't merely just jump because the king said to jump. We look back at verse 12, and it says, there were certain Jews that you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. In other words, they weren't listening to what he had to say. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now this was strong. This stood out. They didn't follow the king's rule, if you will. Because it wasn't of God. It was against God. And they knew that. And they didn't want to be out of the will of God. And they would worship no other. Now today, the believer is called to be different. We are called to be lights into the world. We are called to be, you know, the message, if you will. Jesus was different. He didn't adhere to what the Pharisees and the rulers were saying. He didn't jump when they said jump. He stood against anything that was ungodly. He stood for what was right. He was righteous in a sinful world. He was light in the dark. The same thing that he called us to be. This is certainly different. Again, he was light when he was surrounded by darkness. He taught against conformity. He taught against going with the flow. And his teachings show us today, be different. Stand for God. Because I promise you, in the world that we live in, if you do that, you'll be different. And you'll stand out. Just like these three did, because it said these three certain men. So they really had a lot of attention. A lot of attention was drawn to them. Jesus taught that you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Now, a lot of people today are trying to do both. Well, I assure you that you can't. He taught that we, as believers, are to follow Him. Now, why do we follow people? Because we hope they know where they're going, right? You ask someone for directions, they say, well, just follow me, I'll show you. You hope they know where they're going. Jesus said, follow me. We know that He knows where He's going. We can trust in that word. And he said, if indeed we're to follow him, we are to act like him. We are to be like him. Therefore, we are called to be different. Now, does that come at a price? Oh, yeah. It comes at a great price. But we have already supposed to become new if indeed we are following him, according to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We all know this verse is very familiar, but it says very, very clearly, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if we've come to Christ, then we're already new, right? You're different. You're not who you were. You're something new now. that translates into different what this passage is saying. Born again. What does that mean? A new start, a new way, a new walk, new thinking, new everything. We are different now. We're not of that old persuasion. Paul spoke on this in the book of Philippians. I want to share this with you. This is powerful, what he's saying to us here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. And Paul writes, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted a loss for Christ." The things that I was striving after that wasn't of God, that was really beholding to me and really holding me in place, if you will, I said, I count them, I'm not losing anything when I come to Jesus. All must be given up. Christ is worth everything that we give up, and 1,000 times more. But Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ." In other words, it don't matter. As long as I got Jesus and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, and be made conformable unto His death, if by any means that I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul's saying here, we need to be like Jesus. We need to follow Him. And listen to what he's saying. If we're going to represent Him, if we're going to live for Him, then just like these three men in our account in Daniel, we have to be different. You have to be. You have to be different and only stand for the things of God. But we need to understand, not only were they different, they were daring. They were daring. They really took a chance, if you will. What does the word daring mean? It means bold. It means courageous. It means confident. In other words, what it's saying is, I really believe in this. I really believe in this, and I am standing up for it no matter the cost. That's what he's saying. That's what they were saying to the king. Excuse me. I got the driest throat since we moved here that I've ever had in my life, so. We have to understand, this is what they were saying. And when it says in verse 16, it says that they said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." In other words, what they were saying to him is, we have no need to answer you. In other words, we don't have to think about this. You know, our mind is made up. We are not changing. Do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do, because God's going to take care of us either way. That was having the boldness and the daringness to stand up against what was seen as normal, if you will. You know, well, man, the king said we got to do it. So they weren't exploring options outside of that. But these three, they said, you know what? We're not going to do that. Our mind is made up. We're worshiping God and God only. As we become bolder in our faith. And this is my challenge to all of us today. As we become bolder in our faith, listen to me now, we will be, not might be, not maybe, we will be challenged. It's going to happen. We will be challenged, and we will face difficulties. It's never been promised that it's going to be a smooth ride. It will come. The question is, are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to take a stand? Because you see, we live in a world of compromise. We do. We live in a world of compromise. Leave out this. Overlook that. Don't offend this. Now, granted, we don't never go out with the intention of purposely offending or hurting someone. You know, you be careful with what you say. But the importance is that you tell the truth, right? You know, you choose your words carefully. You don't want to be like a pastor. I heard that a young lady came up to him one morning as she was going out of the door. And she said, "Pastor, I believe that I'm guilty of some sin." And he said, "Really? What's the matter?" She said, "Well, I'm guilty of the sin of pride." And he said, "Well, my goodness, what's wrong?" She said, "Well, every time I walk by a mirror, I just stand there and look at how beautiful I am." He said, "That's not sin, you're just wrong." But you have to be careful with what you say. You have to be careful. You don't want to hurt anybody. But what we need to think about, though, is in the word offense. People say today that the word of God is offensive. Why do we think that is? Because it tells you the truth. And I myself, and this is my stand, I would rather be the one who offends someone with the truth of the word of God and see them get saved than to tell them what they want to hear and see them go to hell. And that's the stand that we have to take. We live in a world of compromise. We must take a firm stand. Now, when we do, remember, this does not always come easy. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you work or jobs. It may be family. It may cost you your life. The cost is not cheap. But then neither is the alternative. Neither is the alternative. These three in this passage were different. And they were also daring. You see, they faced the possibility of losing their life, but not just in a simplistic way. They weren't just going to get, you know, shot or stabbed. No, they were going to be burned to death. They were to be cast into this fiery furnace. Now, any of us that have ever touched anything, whether it's a campfire or a stove eye or anything, and had just a little singe of fire or heat, we know that's not any fun. You know, that's not any good. But to be engulfed in flames. And when I worked the road, I was saddened and horrified sometimes at having to work things where people had been burned up in automobiles or maybe even in a house fire or whatever. It's terrible. It's terrible. But they stood boldly in their faith, even facing such horrific things. They stood there and said, "Our God is able. The God that we serve is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace and from you." They took a bold stand on what they believed, but they went on. They didn't just take that one-sided approach, if you will. They said, "But," and it's a key word here. They said, "But if not, even if he doesn't, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods." Even if our God doesn't show up, for whatever reason, even if he's 4 days late, we will not serve you. We will not bow down to your golden image. Now that's daring. That's daring. They're facing death. It wasn't a maybe. It wasn't a, "Well, if you don't straighten up, this is what you might get." No. It was going to happen. This he meant what he said. They were daring. And they took a stand for what was right. And I believe with all my heart that should be the attitude of every believer today. I believe with all my heart that should be the attitude of every church today that proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. That we are going to stand for what is right. Because too many places have become careful, too careful, so careful, in fact, that a very little witnessing and very little proclamation of the truth is taking place. So careful that things have become so tolerant and accepting of things that are ungodly and things that are clearly defining God's word as against him, that ever so slowly the world has been allowed to come into the church instead of the church going into the world. And that is, we've got to reverse that. We got to take the news. He said, "Proclaim, go and to all the world." He didn't say the world come into you. He said, "Go into all the world and take this gospel. Take this good news." That's what we need to do. That's what God is calling us to do. That's what he was calling these three to do. And they stood boldly for what they believed. The walk of faith is a daring walk. It's not one that's easy. It's one that requires us to be different. It is one that may require us to be daring and stand in the face of something. But we also have to be dedicated. That's another way to say commitment, which is a really bad word. But it's true. We must be dedicated. You see, dedicated. Many people today are dedicated to things. Dedicated to causes. Now granted, some of them are worthy. Some of them are good. But the question is, has the believer remained dedicated? Has the church remained dedicated to winning others to Christ? That's our goal. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. Dedicated to proudly displaying our faith. I heard a politician once say, "Well, you know, I'm a man of great faith, but I don't wear it on my sleeve. That's private." Man, I want to wear it as loud as I can, you know. If I could paint a sign on top of my bald head, I would. You know, you don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. You want to show him to everybody and proclaim him with our lives, not just our words. Because words don't always mean anything, right? Words can be changed. But what people see in us, that's what's good. These three said, God is able. We can't forget that. We cannot forget that today God is still able. Amen? He is able, and we need to remember that. They said he is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still going to follow him. We're still going to trust him because he had a purpose, he had a reason, because we know that he has a plan. We know that he has a plan. Now, many today have walked away. Many today that maybe once were on fire for the Lord or are excited about things, they've walked away. They've lost faith, or they've refused to continue to believe because God didn't do what they wanted, or they think that God didn't come through, or somehow that he failed them, or somehow that something didn't go their way. Maybe he didn't save their marriage, or maybe he didn't heal their loved one, or keep their house from being foreclosed, or provide them work, or open the door for salvation for their children yet. But what we have to understand is our commitment to God an only if commitment. God, I will follow you, but only if you do this, or only if you do that. Can we bargain with God? No. I had a guy one time that I knew, and he told me he was trying to think about starting to go to church or get things, you know, right with the Lord. And he said, and I made a deal with the Lord. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I told him that if he would let my favorite football team win the big game on Sunday, then I'd start going to church. Don't do that. Don't make deals with God like that. Look at this example that he gives us here. It said, they said to him, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In verse 16, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, they were saying, no matter what, take my life or not, it doesn't matter, we will not serve you. We will not bow down to you. That is dedication. We are sticking with this no matter what it cost. Because we know that in the end, our God is able. And he will deliver us. This is not well if, or if that, or any of that. It's just, okay, Lord, my life is yours. You gave it to me. I believe that you will protect it. I'm going to serve you no matter what. I will stand for you always, no matter the cost, even death. Now that's heavy. That's heavy. That's serious. But that's dedication. How much do we believe this? You know? How much do we? The world made a mockery of our faith this past couple of weeks over this prediction guy from yesterday. It was the laughing stock of everything. But you know who won in that? The devil. They were having rapture parties. They were having this and that and YouTube videos mocking and this. And that's exactly what he wanted. He don't want anybody to believe that one day, just as Jesus promised, he's going to show up. Now, he don't want people to be ready. Because when it says in the twinkling of an eye, when it says as fast as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, that's quick. You can't be ready for that except just be ready. We have to be willing to be dedicated to what we believe. That's what God calls us to do. The dedication of Job, when we look at the life of Job, now he went through a few things, huh? He had a pretty rough road. But he says in his book, in chapter 13, in verse 15, it says, though he kill me or slay me, some versions say, yet I will trust him. In other words, what was he saying here? He was basically saying this, I don't get it. I don't understand all this stuff. I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me, but in the end, I'm going to keep trusting you, Lord, because I know that you knew best. That's dedication. That was the attitude of these three men. That was Job's attitude. That has to be ours too. But we also see it was the attitude of Jesus. Oh, that's right. He says in the garden in Matthew 26 and 39, and it says this, "And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible." You know, listen to me, Lord. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That's dedication. That's saying it's got to be God's way. Just like I sang in that song, His way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. We got to understand that. If we are dedicated to His way, then we quickly find out that we are different. You are. You're different. You don't see things the same. You don't act the same. You don't react the same. Things are different. But it also makes us daring, because then we're willing to stand for what we really believe. And when you combine all of that, it brings deliverance, because God will bring us through. Look at these last few verses in verse 24. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four." Man, that ought to make you want to jump out of your seat. "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." We can't comprehend that. Thrown, tied, bound, cotton or whatever clothes, whatever that stuff was made out of, bound and thrown into the midst. That means in the middle of the fire. I said, "Man, they ain't even hurt. And not only are they not hurt, they're walking around and they got somebody else with them." Whew. Bound, now loose. Isn't that what salvation offers us? Isn't that what it's all about? Freedom. No longer bound by sin. No longer separation from God. Walking around with Jesus. Man, that ought to just get somebody excited. We're faced with so many things these days. As we walk around, we see just hurt and sickness and broken homes and all kinds of things. Everything. We see all kinds of stuff. Things that we just don't understand. People hurting people. But if we will dedicate ourselves to the Lord, if we will truly surrender and dedicate ourselves to Him, if we will allow ourselves to be different and to be daring, we can bring a change. We can bring a change, a much needed change, if you will, to all of those around us, because they see that something is different. We can see other people delivered from their fire. We can see other people delivered from them being bound. And what a joy! And how exciting it should be to think about that. These three were bound. They were tied up, you know, had ropes around their wrists or shackles or whatever. They were tossed. They weren't just, you know, nicely, gently asked to step in. They were tossed into a roaring fire. And we got to understand, how hot was this? It was so hot that it killed the people who put them in. And that's hot. You know, that's our little girls, that's their new favorite word, hot. Everything is hot, even though when it's not. But they like that. It was so hot. It was so hot that it killed the people who put them in. But the word says the fire had no power on their body. It said it had no power on their body. Their hair was not even singed. Their clothes weren't harmed. It tells us they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Think about that for a minute. If your neighbor is burning leaves and it just drifts across your yard, you get the smell of smoke on your shirt. You know, if you're in a place where people who smoke, you know, you get it on you. I mean, it's just what it is. But they were in the fire. They didn't just walk past it. They were in it. And the Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And we think to ourselves and we say, how could that be? How was that possible? And we think of words like, well, you know, faith and dedication and all of those. And then, yeah, those are good answers. But you know what the real answer is? Do you know why this was true? Because they were already on fire. They were already on fire. You see, we need to get back on fire for God. And that's what these men were. They said, we will not worship anybody else. We will not bow down to you. We will not bow down to your statue. No, they were on fire for God. They were representing him. We are called to be different. We need to be daring. We must be dedicated. And if we put all of that together, we are promised. Here again, we go back to our songs. We're promised. If we stand on the promises of God, we will be delivered. He came through just like he said he would. The question is this, and I'm preparing to close. Will you accept that call? Will you accept that call? Will we as a church accept that call? Because we have two choices, and this is what it really comes down to. We can stay bound in the fire, and we can be consumed. Or we can be set free, and we can walk around with Jesus. We can be set free and walk around with Jesus and bring others this same freedom that he has given us. And we can do it and not even have the smell of smoke. And we think about what God has promised us here. We see this was a supernatural, awesome, unbelievable thing that took place, but it happened. And this is God's way of showing us today, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, if you are in the midst of the fiery furnace right now, if you are looking at going into it, if you've had anything happen, or whatever's going on, it doesn't matter, he can show up. Now, I'm not promising you that he's going to do everything that we want him to do. I can't do that. I can't promise you that people are always going to get healed or this is going to always happen. But God has a plan. And what we have to understand is his ways are not our ways. And ultimately, in the end, he knows it all. He knows what's best. We don't. We live in a microwave generation. We want it now. We want it right this instant. We don't want to wait. Sometimes God says you have to wait. When we look at what's going on here, we see clearly the life that we've been called to live. And as we're in this world, you're going to have persecution for the Christian faith. You're going to have mockery because some people say, oh, that's not real, or this or that. You know, all these things. But we have to say, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to stand for it. I'm not going to bow down to your ways. I'm not going to bow down to your statue. I'm not going to do this. No, I'm going to serve God. And he is able to deliver us. But if he is not, if he chooses not, I'm still going to stand for him because he had a reason and he knows better than me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that we could worship. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, that their faith delivered them, that their strength came from their belief in you. Lord, I'm asking today if there be one here or if there be many that is wondering where they are with their walk, that today they'd come forward and solidify that. They'd make sure that they know. If there be one or more here, Lord, that has not made that call, that has said, you know, I don't know who I serve or who I worship, come forward today and come to meet Jesus. Lord, we give you this time of invitation, dedication, boldness, all the things that come with this, Lord. And as we sing this final song, as the group prepares, Lord, to sing these beautiful words, may people come forward today, Lord, and indeed meet the King. May today be life-changing. Lord, may you have put a fire under us today. Set us on fire, Lord, that as we walk about in this world, that people see that we are daring, we are different, we are dedicated to the cause of Christ. And we, as believers here today, know that because of those things, we will be delivered. I give you this invitation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Please stand.